This is Thursday night. That means we only have one more night left, and the week has really gone fast, at least fast for me, and maybe not for you, but it's been a rapid week serving the Lord here and seeing the enthusiasm here in this church. That's wonderful. Good singing and good special music, good singing. It's just fantastic, and we appreciate it so much. One more night, though, and let's keep inviting folk. In fact, we have a few pews back there that need to be filled up. And I was thinking as I was sitting here, I think of a church that had a family in the church named Pew. They also had a family in the same church named Hill. But anyway, let's fill up those pews tomorrow night, all of them. And just praise the Lord for whoever will come. But what a blessing to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I don't know whether this thing is on or not. It's not on. He's shaking his head back there. We got so many buttons here to push. I don't know whether the thing is on or off. But the green light is on. All right, great. Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to begin reading with verse number 25 and read through verse number 29. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning with verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great blessing tonight to be here. What a blessing to be able to look into the Word of God and ask that the Spirit of God would bless and challenge our hearts tonight. Lord, we're thankful for this church. Thankful for this dear pastor and his family. And we ask your rich blessing upon them. But Lord, tonight we've come to hear from heaven. And Lord, if we're going to hear from heaven, we need to hear from the wonderful Word of God. And we'll praise you tonight for all that's accomplished in this service, for we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Have you ever stopped to think what God is like? I think it was last Sunday in the USA paper, there was a full-length article concerning what America thinks of God. And it's broken down in several ways as to how they relate God in their own personal life or how they believe God is. And I'm afraid sometimes we have a misconception of who God is. A five-year-old girl was sitting at a table drawing a picture. And her mother said to her, "Honey, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." But the mother said to this girl, "But no one knows what God looks like." And the little five-year-old girl looked up at her mother and said, "Mom, they will when I get through." Now, there's a great truth in that. A great truth, because we represent the Lord. We represent the truth. And it's so important that we have the right concept of God. The Bible says in Job chapter 22 and verse 21, "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee." Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty glory in his might. Let not the rich glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord." And surely, a God that is unknown cannot be trusted.
We need to know who God is and have a spiritual and saving knowledge of God. I believe is the greatest need today. What a tremendous blessing to be able to look into the Word of God and find out who God is. And I want to bring this message tonight as to who God is. And the scripture that I read, I want to start with the last verse and work our way up. So we're going to start with verse number 29, where the Bible says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Now notice what it says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Now, dear friends, tonight, it's good for us to preach about God's love, but if we're going to be fair and just and right, we need to also preach that God's a consuming fire. We preach tonight about heaven, and we ought to, but we also ought to preach about hell, because that's spoken of in the Scripture. We preach about God's grace, unmerited favor, which we ought to do, but we ought to also preach about judgment. You see, it's so easy for us to take one side, and not reveal the truth. I think of a dear lady that went to her pastor and said to the pastor, "How come in all the years we've been a member of this church, we've never heard you preach on the subject of judgment or the place of judgment?" And that preacher said, "I would never do that." He said, "It's too offensive. It's too terrible for me to bring a message about judgment." He said, "I'll throw in a line every now and then, but actually to bring a message on it is terrible." And I'm afraid that's true today in many churches. We preach about God's love, we preach about heaven, we preach about the grace of God and the blessing of God without looking at the other side of what the Bible has to say about God. Now, in the first part of this message, I want you to hang on and listen, because things that I'm going to present from the Word of God, we may not like to hear, but it's the truth. It's found in God's Word. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now in that verse it talks about the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Webster's dictionary defines wrath as violent anger, indignation, extreme passion. Now as you look into the Scripture and search the Bible, I mean, there are 15 passages in the Bible that speak to the fact we're to love God. There are 46 passages in the Bible, direct commands, that we are to fear God. Three times as many places in the Word of God tells us we ought to fear Him rather than love Him. Now, we need to love Him, don't get me wrong, because this is the truth in the Scripture. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. James chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says, "The devils believe and tremble." They tremble because they understand who God is because of God's wrath. I think of a city where a tornado passed through the southern part of that city on Palm Sunday. And I happened to be on the radio, and as the tornado passed by, there was a preacher that preceded me on the broadcast. And he simply said, "I want to tell you that God had nothing to do with this storm. Nothing to do whatsoever with that storm. It was a terrible storm. It turned over semis, and it was kind of humorous in a way. It picked up a cow and carried the cow through the air and dropped the cow down in an open sow. So when the farmer went out to get the silage and throw it down for the animals, there that cow is way up high there. I don't know how in the world they ever got that cow out of there. But listen, the preacher said, don't worry, God's a God of love, God's a God of mercy, and God had nothing to do with this storm." I followed him on the radio, and I used the Scripture, and I said, "I want to tell you something, God did have something to do with this storm, because God is in control, He's in control of the storm and the wind." And the Bible, over and over again, tells us that. You see, dear friend, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And we think of all the earthquakes, and we think of the terrible things that are taking place in our world today. And so, our God is a consuming fire. That's what the Bible says. Now, let's move up a little bit in this passage of Scripture. And the Bible says what? In verse number 26, "Whose voice then shook the earth?" Whose voice? God's voice. whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. His voice then shook the earth. Now you go back in the Old Testament and look up as to how God's voice shook the earth. Go back to the Garden of Eden. God placed Adam and Eve in that beautiful, beautiful garden, and God gave them command that they could partake of all the trees of the garden except one. God did not create robots. He created individuals, two of them, that would choose to serve Him and obey Him and love Him. And so He placed that tree there, and He said, I don't want you to partake of that tree. But you know the story. Eve was under the tree, and the old devil tempted her. She reached up and grabbed that fruit, bit into it, and she gave it to Adam, and she sinned. Now, what was the result of that? Sin passed upon all men. Because of Adam, and it's passed down to every generation and so on. But as a result of Adam and Eve sinning, God provided salvation for them. An animal was killed and clothed them with that animal. Blood was shed. But if you look at the scripture, God drove them out of the garden. God said, you can't continue here anymore. And dear friend, what happened? I mean, before that, there was no disease. Before that, there was no sickness. Before that, there was no death. Before that, there was no want. Before that, there was no distress. Before that, there was none of these terrible things. But who drove them out? God. God drove them out. You see, why? Because God cannot look upon sin. Sin has to be dealt with. Now we go to a second place in the Old Testament, and that is has to do with the flood. God looked down upon the world. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great, terrible. And God, as He looked down, said, I'm going to destroy man from off the face of the earth. But as He looked down there, He saw a man by the name of Noah that found grace in His sight. And God said, no, I'm not going to destroy everybody. I'll only destroy those wicked, those terrible folk. And so God gave instruction to Noah to build a boat on dry land. Up until then, it had never rained. The earth was watered with the dew, but it had never rained. And yet God said to Noah, I want you to build a boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. And I want you to build that boat. And after the boat is done, I want you to take animals inside that ark. And then in the seventh chapter, God said, all right, Noah, I want you and your family to enter into that ark. And they walked up the gangplank, entered the ark. And the door remained open so that others could have walked up that gangplank, come in. And finally, God shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. And it started to rain. And it started to rain. And it started to rain. And it continued to rain. And it continued to rain until the rain got up to their ankles. Then it got up to their knees. Then up to their waist and so on. And they sought higher ground. And I can see them. I can see them going to the ark and so on, knocking on the side of the ark and saying, Noah, we believe in you. We believe. Open the door. Let us in. Let us in. But as I've said, Noah didn't shut the door. And every person on the outside of that ark died in the flood. Why? Because of God. His voice then shook the earth. Oh, listen, I think further of the death penalty. There's a lot of argument today among the liberals concerning the death penalty. Now, why do we believe in the death penalty? Because it's in the Bible. The Bible is so clear in Genesis chapter 9, 5 and 6. God says, if you shed somebody's blood, your blood is going to be required of you. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall by his blood be shed. I read in Exodus 21, verse 12, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. That's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And we think about abortion today. I mean, all the abortions that take place in our world today and so on. And they justify it. Listen, God has some things to say against it. Taking a person's life. You see, the Bible says our God's a consuming fire. The Bible says His voice then shook the earth, and He's going to shake it again. What a day that's going to be. That's the God of the Bible, the God of the Scripture. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You continue on in the ways of sin, and listen, you'll not only die physically, you will be separated eternally from God forever. Because our God's a consuming fire, and His voice then shook the earth, and it's going to shake the earth and heaven again. What a day. Now listen, I would not stop the message there. I want you to move up to verse 25. It says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh." God is simply saying, listen! Listen, don't refuse the Word of God. Don't refuse God's Word. Simply, see that you refuse not Him that speaketh. And I think of the truth tonight. God is a God of love. And I think of the hymn writer that wrote these words, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star. It reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure and measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure." The saints and angels' song. The love of God. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but everlasting life." God says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God says in His Word in Romans chapter 10 and tells us, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The love of God. And so God says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh." And dear friend, if you're a Christian tonight, you need to listen to the Word of God and be obedient to the Word of God. If you're not saved, you need to listen to the Word of God concerning sin and wickedness and get saved before judgment comes. And there's a terrible judgment that's coming. And you can read about it in the Scripture. Oh, what a tremendous truth. I think about being in California, and we're in California every other year in meetings. And I remember when we were in California shortly after the terrible earthquake, and there's a highway there that runs north and south from Oakland. Runs north, the bottom part of the highway, traffic goes south, the top part of the highway, I believe, goes north. And that terrible, terrible earthquake took place there in Oakland and in that part. And what happened? The top part of the highway dropped down on the bottom part, crushed those cars underneath, listen, to 18 inches, and individuals, many, many of them were killed. And the newspaper, the cover story of the USA Today, had this story on the front page. The road shook like God was coming down. And the blood flowed down the gutter there in Oakland. Oh, what a terrible thing. Where 200,000 commuters usually travel. The police dogs sniff for the living, and the shaken rescue workers tried to reclaim the dead. The structure went like a toy. The earth shook. What a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. Oh, but listen, dear friend. God in His mercy and love wants to save individuals that they might be born again by the Spirit of God and be saved. I think of Dr. Ironsides, that great preacher that pastored the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. I heard him preach once. And he had lost his eyesight. And so, practically, he held up the book like this. All during his preaching, he held the Bible up and the book. But I read in one of his books, I've got most of his books, he read this, that Dr. Ironsides had a son, and he would play bear. He had a big bear coat, And he put that bear coat on and put the hood up over his head and his arms, of course, through the opening of that, and the claws were there. And Dr. Ironsides would get on all four, and he would chase his son through the house, and he would growl and growl, and he would take his hands like this as claws as he growled and so on, and they would hoot and holler and have a good time. But Dr. Ironsides said one day, he said, "I got my son in the corner. Backed up in the corner, and I begin to growl at him, and I begin with my claws reach out for him, and my son began to scream and said, he said, 'You're not a bear. You're not a bear. You're my daddy. You're my daddy.'" Dr. Ironside said, "Yes, I am your daddy." And he took the robe, the bearskin coat, and took it off and threw his arms around his son and loved him. And he uses this illustration. God is a holy bear. And unless you get saved, unless you do something about that sin problem, the day is going to come when you're going to come face to face with God. Face to face with God's wrath. Face to face with God's judgment. And you can read about it in Revelation chapter 20. Of the great white throne, as individuals stand before God and the books are opened. And individuals are going to judge themselves as to what they've done with the gospel. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Into the lake of fire forever. You see, our God is a consuming fire. Our God is the God whose voice shook the earth. Our God is a God that's going to shake the earth again in heaven. It's coming. Judgment's coming. Our God is the one that simply says tonight, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh." Listen to him. And his love and mercy so that you can get saved. I'm not talking about baptism at church. No. I'm talking about receiving the Lord Jesus as your Savior and be born again. And it's so easy for us to harden our heart and reject him. No. Don't reject him. Because our God's a consuming fire. I think about outcalling, and I thought of the young people as they took the bus out the other day and did some door knocking. I thought of door knocking on a house. It was a doctor's house. And I introduced myself. And as I stepped inside the front door, the doctor said to me, "Don't come any further." He said, "I'm not interested." He said, "I've got rid of all the Bibles that we ever had in this house." He said, "I don't want my wife. I don't want my children in contact with that Bible. I've got rid of it." And I bowed my head inside this doctor's house, and I said, "I respect the fact that your house, and I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. But before I leave, let me say this." I said, "I've been preaching many, many years. I've seen in the time I preached, I've seen harlots converted. I've seen drunkards converted. I've seen individuals in jail and in prison converted. I've seen God reach down and do some tremendous things in the lives. I've seen homes put back together. I've seen all this." I said, "Sir, I believe the Bible. And when I die and stand on the other side," I said, the Bible is true, but suppose it's not true. I said, "Doctor, have I lost anything? If I find out, after all that's taken place in my ministry, all that's taken place in my life, and the great things that be accomplished, I die, and when I die, I discover that not one word of the Bible is true, have I lost anything?" He looked at me and said, "I don't suppose you have." I said, "Listen, doctor, you're going to die. And when you die, and you find out that everything in the Bible is true, what are you going to do?" He looked to the kitchen floor and he said, "Sir, if that book is true, I'll be in trouble. I'll be in trouble." Dear friend, it is true. This is the Word of God. Our God's a consuming fire. He shook once, he'll shake again. Judgment's coming. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this is judgment. But dear friend, you can be saved tonight. You can be obedient tonight to the voice of God. By the wonder and blessing of the Scripture. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I give you rest." He just said, "Come, just come." He stands at the portals of heaven and he says, "Come, come." He's looking down Mequonago Baptist Church tonight, and he's saying to you, come, come to me. And you can come to him tonight and experience his love and his mercy and his grace, or you can reject him. And if you reject him, you'll die and face him as the holy bear in judgment. But you can come tonight. You're here as a Christian tonight, and listen, you don't have to obey him. You don't have to obey him, but listen, if you do obey him, you'll know the joy and victory and blessing by obeying the Lord. But if you reject him by not obeying him, you'll meet him at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what you've done with the Word of God. Our God is a consuming fire, but that God is a God of love and mercy that invites us to come to him. And we can come to him tonight for salvation and victory and blessing and surrender. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll not embarrass you, I'll not point you out. But as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask a couple questions. How many of you, dear wonderful folk tonight in this service, as you look into your heart, you say, yes, I have accepted him. I can tell you when it was and where it was when I received the Lord as my Savior. I'm not talking about baptism or church membership. No, I'm talking about when you, the sinner, accepted the Lord Jesus, repented of your sin, and placed your faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary. If you know that for sure tonight and you're not ashamed of it, as a testimony, slip your hand up right now. Just slip your hands up right now. God bless you. God bless you. That's wonderful. Put your hands down. Is there someone here tonight you didn't raise your hand? You'll know. You'll know. You say, yes, I'm not sure I'm saved tonight. I'm not, and I don't want to meet that God that's a consuming fire. I want to meet the God of love that died for me on the cross of Calvary. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you slip your hand up and indicate, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved tonight. Is there someone like that? Just slip your hand up high enough so I can see it. As heads are bowed, is there a Christian here tonight? And you say, yes, I have been saved, but there's some steps of obedience I need to take. There's some victories that I need to claim. There's some sins I need to confess. God spoke to me tonight. And I want to be ready to meet him, that God of love, and not meet him at the judgment seat of Christ, ashamed. And you'll slip your hand up as a Christian. Let me pray for you. I see those hands. Just raise them and put them back down. Yes, there's some decisions I need to make. There may be some young people here that God is calling you into a specialized service. I need you to slip out and come and stand at this altar and say, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. And God spoke into your heart this week. I see those hands. I see them. Put them back down. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. I'm thankful you love us. Now, Lord, as we sing an invitation song, help individuals to slip out of that pew and come. Christians to come to obey. Christians to come to find victory and blessing. Christians to come to say, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Give them the courage to come tonight. Then someone that's not saved tonight, oh, help them to come to receive your grace and your love and your mercy because of Calvary. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 242 in our hymn book, 242, a great, great song entitled, Jesus, I Come. Let's stand together as we sing the very first verse. You raised your hand, you didn't, but God spoke your